والذين يمسكون بالكتاب, and as to those who hold fast to the book, وأقاموا الصلاة, and establish صلاة, إنا لا نضيع أجر المصلحين, certainly we never waste the reward of those who do good deeds. Now here Allah describes our relationship with the book. يمسكون بالكتاب, who grasp firmly to the book. How do we understand this ayat? What have we reduced this Quran to? We hear people saying, oh, I read 10 Qurans this Ramzan. And oh yes, you know, I'm having a Quran khani at my house. And we get other people to come and read the Quran. Some people even pay others to come and read the Quran at their houses because they're just too lazy to read it themselves. We have Quran khanis when we're in trouble. We read certain surahs in the Quran if someone we know is having a child, or if someone we know is sick, or we're going through financial problems. We read little pansuras. وَالَّذِينَ يُمَسِّكُونَ بِالْكِتَابِ. That's not grasping firmly to the book. What is grasping firmly to the book? Allah has already taught us. الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. Those to whom we have given the book, recite it as is its right of recitation. What is حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ? Five rights that this Quran has upon us. Number one, that we recite it in Arabic. People say, oh, but it's very difficult for me to recite because my Arabic is really weak, so I have to do it really slowly. The Prophet ﷺ himself told us, the one who is skilled in reading the Quran will be with the angels, and the one who reads it with difficulty will be given double the reward. So the first right is recitation in Arabic, and we can't neglect that. The second right is reading it with understanding, as we're trying to do right now. The third right is contemplating it, seeking its deeper meanings, because each ayat in the Quran contains an ocean of meaning. The fourth right of the Quran is acting upon it. Not that we listen to the Quran and go home and forget about all that we've read today. That we act upon the Quran. And the fifth right of the Quran is that we convey what we have learned. Allah says, those who hold fast to the book, such are those who are holding fast to the book. وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ, and who established salah. Why is salat mentioned here? Sometimes we find that people in Quran khanis are so busy reading the Quran, finishing their sipara, that they even miss their salat. And they say, no, let me finish my sipara first. See, we need to remember that salat is a farz, and reading the Quran is a nafli ibadat. So if I say, no, I'd rather finish this Quran right now and forget about my salat, and Allah will forgive me, that's wrong. Aqamu salah. Allah teaches us balance. Inna la nudi'u ajra al-muslihin. Then we will not waste the reward of those who do good. And remember, when we raised the mountain over them, as if it had been a canopy, and they thought that it was going to fall on them, and we said, hold firmly to what we have given you, and remember that which is therein. A compound of ilm and amal, knowledge and acting upon that knowledge, so that you may fear Allah. If we want taqwa, then this is the solution. Ilm of the Quran and amal upon what's in the Quran. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَا مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ شَهِدْنَا أَن تَقُولُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّا كُنَّا عَنْ هَذَا غَافِلِينَ. This is a very beautiful ayat. Remember when your Lord brought forth from the children of Adam, from their loins, their seed, and made them testify as to themselves, saying, am I not your Lord? They said, بَلَىٰ شَهِدْنَا. Indeed, we testify, lest you should say on the day of judgment, indeed we were unaware of this. Or lest you should say, it was only our fathers aforetime who took others as partners in worship along with Allah, and we were descendants after them. Will you then destroy us because of the deeds of men who practiced wrong? Thus do we explain the signs in detail, so that they may return. Now in this ayat we find a reference to the pact, to the promise which is called Wada'i Alast. What is this? We find from a hadith that when Adam alayhi salam was created, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathered together all the spirits and gave them intelligence and then gave them power and speech and then said, Alastu bi rabbikum, am I not your Lord? Now this means that all of us in this room today, our ancestors and our future descendants have all taken this pact. Not just us Muslims, all the people who have come into this world, are in this world or will ever come in this world, all of mankind has taken this pact. Alastu bi rabbikum, Allah has asked us, am I not your Lord? And Rabb means one who creates, nourishes, sustains, therefore one who has to be obeyed. And we all replied, Bala, indeed, Shahidna, we bear witness. Now, you might wonder to yourself, well, how come I don't remember it? We don't remember it because this is then the test of ibadat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed this knowledge in our subconscious selves. Like some people say, you know, it's not the fault of people who've never heard of the Quran and people who've never heard of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We need to remember that if a man has lived all his life in a valley, he's never met another human being in his life. He won't be asked about salat. He won't be asked about zakat. But he will be asked about whether he recognized the oneness of Allah. This is something which is in our subconscious selves. So when we look at the signs Allah has created for us, whether the external signs such as the signs of the universe, or this Quran, or the signs through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we should remember and say, Allah, we affirm, we corroborate this, we will act upon it, shahidna. Now why did Allah take this memory away from us? It would have been so much easier if everyone just remembered saying this. Because where was the test then? Like a student on the examination day when his textbooks are taken away. Why are they taken away? To test his knowledge, to test his intelligence, to test how much he absorbed. And Allah says, lest you should say on the day of judgment, Inna kunna an haza ghafilin. We were forgetful of this. Again, the word ghafilin. Or lest you should say, it was only our fathers aforetime. Like people like to blame it on others. Oh, we never knew this. If only we'd known, we would have obeyed. Allah says, now there is no excuse, no grounds for turning back. وَكَذَلِكَ نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ Thus do we explain the signs in detail. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ In order that they may return. The Prophet ﷺ once said, souls are troops collected together, and those who familiarized with each other in state of prenatal existence would have affinity with one another in the world, and those who opposed each other would be at variance with one another. Sometimes you meet someone and for the first time, and you instinctively take a liking to that person. And sometimes you instinctively dislike someone. Reason for that is because we've already met before. So if we click with someone immediately, it's because we clicked with that person at that time. And if we dislike someone when we meet them on first sight, then that's because we've already experienced that aversion before. Allah says, thus do we explain the signs in detail? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ In order they may return. They may return to recognition of Allah. وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ الَّذِي آتَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِنَا فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا فَأَتْبَعَهُ الشَّيْطَانُ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ This is a very important example. Recite to them the story of him to whom we gave our signs, but he threw them away. So Shaitan followed him up, and he became of those who went astray. And had we willed, we would surely have elevated him therewith. But he clung to the earth and followed his own desires. So his example is the example of a dog. If you drive him away, he lolls his tongue out. Or if you leave him alone, he still lolls his tongue out. Such is the example of the people who reject our signs. So relate the stories. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ Perhaps they may reflect. Evil is the example of the people who rejected our signs and used to wrong themselves. Now this is a very important example. Allah tells us of a person who is given Quranic knowledge, who is given knowledge of Islam, who is given knowledge of the Sunnah. And what happens? He discards that and he follows his own desires. Now we all have a copy of this Quran in our houses. We all have a certain modicum of Quranic knowledge. We all have the option whereby we can go out and study this Quran. What happens when we discard it, when we reject it, when we despise it, and we start following our own desires instead? And we start doing what our heart feels happy in doing instead. Shaitan starts to follow such a person. فَكَانَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ And he becomes of those who go astray. Now Allah says, had we willed, we could have elevated him therewith. But he clung to the earth and followed his own desires. So his example is the example of a dog. Now why has Allah compared such a person to a dog? If you think about it, both in English and in Urdu, calling someone a dog or comparing someone to a dog is like one of the worst abuses you can give. So we find divine contempt here. Why for a dog? The dog symbolizes two things. If you look at a dog, we find in him an excess of greed, you know, obsession with food. Even if you throw a stone at a dog first, he'll sniff it, making sure it's not something he can eat. We're all familiar with the story in Aesop's Fables where that dog was passing by a river and he saw his reflection holding a bone and he thought that's another bone. An excess of greed and an excess of lust. Allah says he lolls his tongue out. In other words, it's a despicable example. someone who has no value for himself, who has no self-respect. He's just obsessed with fulfilling his own desires. Now, this preoccupation with food is, I think, something that's a key issue for most women today. What is it that keeps most women from finding time to study the Quran? Oh, we're so busy in the kitchen, we just don't have time. We're so busy with our cooking classes and preparing the lunch and then the dinner and then planning the next day's menu. And that's how their whole lives are wasted. The Prophet ﷺ taught us women to value ourselves, to value our time. He taught us true liberation. You know, one day he saw Hazrat Aisha eating twice and he said, Aisha, is that what it's all about? Just eating food? What are we taught in the Quran? Kulu washrabu, eat and drink, wala tusrifu, but don't exceed the limits. Don't just let your life's preoccupations center around on what you're having for dinner today and for lunch tomorrow. Rise above that. Value yourselves. And what's the second obsession that the dog has? Lust. Now we need to look at our issues. If you look at the youth magazines, what are they all about? Oh, I'm in love with my cousin and my cousin doesn't love me and I'm having a really terrible time. Is that all our youth are obsessed with? Are those the key issues of today? Allah says, the parable of a dog, if you drive him away, he lolls his tongue out. Or if you leave him alone, he still lolls his tongue out. Shallow, superficial, obsessed with his own desires, his own enjoyment, having a good time. Such is the example of the people who reject our signs. So relate the stories. Perhaps they may reflect. Now what's the key word in this ayat? That had we willed, we could have elevated him therewith. We could have honored him. We could have granted him true glory by this Quran, by the Sunnah, by Deen. He could have risen to spiritual heights. What happened? وَلَكِنَّهُ أَخْلَدَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. He clung to the earth. He clung to worldly preoccupations, worldly pursuits. The world is not forbidden. But when the world becomes our sole obsession, distracting us from the hereafter, then it is a curse for us and not a blessing. أَخْلَدَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. He clung to the earth. No, I don't have time. I'd love to read the Quran, but I just don't have any time. Allah says, relate the stories. Perhaps they may reflect. As Allah tells us elsewhere in the Quran, أَيَبْتَغُونَ عِنْدَهُمُ الْعِزَّةِ. Do you seek glory? Do you seek honor from other people? That you want to be known as the best cook in town? Or you want to be known as the best hostess in town? فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Know that all honor, all glory rests with Allah. Evil is the example of the people who rejected our signs and used to wrong themselves. See, this person didn't value himself. He thought, I'm just here to have a good time. So he was the one who suffered. Whomsoever Allah guides, he is the guided one. And whomsoever Allah sends astray, then such are the losers. وَلَقَدْ ذَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَا كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَّا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَّا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَّا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. Allah says, and indeed, we have created for hell many of jinns and mankind. They have hearts with which they do not understand, and they have eyes with which they do not see, and they have ears with which they do not hear. Such people are like cattle. In fact, they are worse. They are more led astray. Such people, they are the heedless ones. Now, what does Allah mean by this ayat? That it's Allah's fault that people will enter hell? No. To understand properly, we need to look at the rest of the verse. See, what made these people enter hell? What was their crime in Allah's eyes? Allah tells us, لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ. They had hearts. لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. But they did not use these hearts for understanding. The question arises, understanding what? And the answer is, understanding the signs of Allah, reflecting upon the book of Allah, pondering the secrets of Allah's universe, for Allah's sake. Now we too have hearts. What is it that we spend most of our time dreaming or brooding about? About fulfillment of Allah's desires? About spreading Allah's deen? Or fulfillment of our own desires? And we all know the answer. Then Allah says, لَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا. These people have eyes, but they're not seeing with these eyes. Now it's not that these people are physically blind. They are spiritually blind. We too have eyes. What do we use our eyes to see? Allah's words, His beauties of creation, or TV? Finally, Allah says, لَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. They have ears, but they're not listening with these ears. Are they deaf? No, but they don't want to listen to Allah's speech. stay too busy listening to the latest scandals and gossip. Now comes the crux of the ayat, that just as when a machine stops working, we throw it away. We try to have it repaired. If it can't be fixed, we throw it away. We don't decorate our homes with it. In the same way, when Allah has given a human being intelligence, eyes, ears, for the purpose of bringing him closer to Allah, and he doesn't use these faculties, in Allah's eyes, he's like a machine that has stopped functioning. He's like trash. What happens to trash? It gets thrown away. Allah sums up these people. Ulaika kal an'am. These people are like animals. Now, why does Allah compare them to animals? Because animals have no intelligence. Nobody would preach to a donkey. In fact, Allah says, Balhum abal. They are worse than animals. Because we don't expect anything from an animal who has no intelligence. He knows no better. But Allah has given all of us intelligence. Allah has given us all a heart with which we can understand His book. And then if we turn away, Allah gives the final verdict. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. Such people, they are people who are heedless. They are forgetful. People who have forgotten the purpose of their life. When we read this ayat, we need to remember, Allah is not just speaking of non-Muslims, that we can smugly sit back and say, well, obviously we're not the ones Allah is referring to. Al-Ghafilun means all people, no matter where they live, no matter what color skin they have, who are not interested in Allah. They're not serious about Allah. As people say, oh, I'm not ready for Allah. Sometimes, in fact, it happens that when young people turn to Allah, others come up to him and say, you're too young for this. You're too young to cover yourself. You're too young to start reading the Quran. So then the question arises, what is the right age to turn to Allah? To understand this more deeply, I'd like to share something with you. We had a most beloved friend and fellow student of the Quran by the name of Alia. Alia was 19 when she turned to Allah, 20 when she started to study the Quran, 21 when she started to teach the Quran. At 22, she was married, she had a child, and one fine day she had a car accident and she died. I'd like you to hear her own words in a speech she made, welcoming new students who were also coming to learn about Islam.
Assalamu alaikum. Afternoon. I was also one of the English students, and I'm seeing a lot of English faces. There's 7, I think, in the English group. And all I can say to you is, yes, there are difficulties, and it's going to be tough. But what you will get out of this course, I think I have never felt in my entire life. I've been a very indifferent student all my life. I've been someone who's been taking my studies very casually. I sit in class and I go home and I don't study much. But when I first came to Islam, through listening to a couple of Dr. Farid's lectures, I wanted to know more about it. So I went to the Islamic University and I studied there for 1.5 years and I received a little from there. But I had to leave my studies due to some reasons. And for 1 year, I did nothing but waste my time, which is in truth what I did. And because of that, I suffered a lot of depression. I suffered a lot of confusion because I felt my life was being wasted, but it was out of my hands. And then in October, last October, in 96, I went through a crisis in my family, in my home, with myself, due to a broken engagement. And I was very upset. I was very confused, and I was very angry. I was very angry with my parents, and I was very angry with Allah for letting this happen to me. And then I came to Al-Huda. I was very upset in the beginning. I was angry, and I didn't want to know anything. But the first day I came here, and the first day we started Al-Hamd Sharif, and from that day till the last, when we finished, we had our khatam and we did our dua, I felt that there was such a big change in me. There was so much peace. There was so much love. And there was so much understanding for what happened to me and why it happened to me. And there was so much gratefulness. Shukr. Whatever Allah had decided for me had been best. And what Allah gave to me had been best. Because I would not have traded this year for 1,000 years ever. And I feel that each minute that has gone by, each moment that has gone by, was so precious that I regret wasting even 1 minute of the year I had here. And that is what I would say to you. Next year, you will be standing here in my place and maybe looking at new faces, inshallah. And you will be thinking the same thoughts I am thinking right now, that I had a year here. I had a year with Allah, where He was with me. He was my guardian, my supporter. And I wasted that minute, that 1 minute I had with Him, because like Madam once said to us, that our life is between history and mystery. The past moment, the 1 minute that just has gone previously, is our history. We can't do anything about it. And the future, we don't know what it will bring for us. But this one moment is ours. We can make for it what we will. If we make it what Allah wills it and what we want it to be, then we have gotten it. And our history is something that we will have nothing to regret over. But if we waste this 1 minute that we have here, then it is gone. So take what you have, grasp it with both your hands and hold it close to your heart, because it will never come again. I say this to you with tears in my eyes because I'm very jealous of you. I think probably more than all my classmates, I'm the most jealous of you, and even though I've been dragging people here with both my hands, you are so lucky. You are so lucky to be here. Take that, please take Allah's love to your heart. Because there is no one who can love you like Allah can. No one can. Not your parents, not your family, not your friends. The way Allah loves you. Love Him the way He deserves to be loved. And pray for us. Jazakallah.
Had she to wait for the right age to turn to Allah, to become old to turn to Allah, she would have had no more chances. So again I repeat, what is the right age to turn to Allah? Till when can we afford to delay turning to Allah? And the answer is, right now is the time to turn to Allah. Right now, this very moment, while we are alive, while we are healthy, and while we are capable of loving and obeying Allah as is His right. Allah says, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. The most beautiful names belong to Allah, so call Him by them. What's the link between the ayat? 1 minute Allah speaking of the ghafilun, the next minute Allah speaking of His names. Allah is teaching us to seek the sublime in our lives. We spend so much time just obsessed with worldly preoccupations. My food, my children, my education. Allah says, seek the sublime. Seek the heights in your life as well. Don't just cling to the earth. Rise above yourself. The most beautiful names belong to Allah. So call Him by them. فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. And leave the company of those who deny His names. They will be requited for what they used to do. Now we need to know that there are certain names that belong to Allah and Allah alone. For instance, Razzaq, the one who provides. It's not for us to bestow this attribute on anyone. Or Khaliq, the creator. Like people saying, oh Hazrat, I'm praying to Hazrat Ali to grant me a child. Or I'm praying to Bari Imam to grant me a child. These attributes belong to Allah alone. In the same way, there are certain names which we cannot even name our children. Like Ar-Rahman. If you want to name your child that, then it should be Abdul Rahman, slave of Ar-Rahman. Because Rahman is a quality of intense mercy, such as found only in Allah. And how is another way that we do not value Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names? When we come up with names of our own, with attributes of our own, which are not to be found. Allah says, such people will be requited for what they used to do. People who utter blasphemous statements against Allah. Allah is so unfair, or Allah is so unjust, na'uzubillah, or Allah is not watching, Allah doesn't care. This comes in the category of denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes. And Allah warns us, they will be requited for what they used to do. And of those whom we have created, there's a community who guides others with the truth and establishes justice therewith. Now we also find that sometimes people invent wazifas, that if you read this name of Allah so many times, you know, this will happen or this will happen. Source for our rituals of ibadah should be the Quran and the Sunnah. Yes, we should call Allah by His beautiful names, but we should not invent wazifas of our own. Those who reject our signs, we shall gradually seize them with punishment. مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. In ways they don't even realize. وَأُمْلِي لَهُمْ. And I will give them respite. إِنَّ كَيْدِي مَتِينَ. Certainly my plan is strong. The Prophet ﷺ once said that if you see a person who is sinning and still he has everything in the world, then know that that is respite. Allah is giving him rope with which to hang himself, or maybe a chance to repent. It's not for us to say, oh, that means that, you know, Allah's word is wrong, and we should also be like that. Avalam yatafakkaru. Do they not reflect? There is no madness in their companion. He is simply a plain warner. Do they not look in the dominions of the heavens and the earth and all things that Allah has created? وَأَنْ عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَكُونَ قَدْ اِقْتَرَبَ أَجْلُهُمْ. And it may be that the end of their lives is near. Do we know when we're going to die? We who postpone reading the Quran till the end of our life. We who postpone our Hajj after our children have grown up and we're free and we've got nothing better to do than go for Hajj. Do we know when we're going to die? Do we know how much time we have brought with us? عَسَىٰ يَكُونَ قَدْ اِقْتَرَبَ أَجْلُهُمْ. Maybe the end of their lives is near. In what message after this will they then believe? مَنْ يُدْلِلَ اللَّهُ فَلَا هَادِيَ اللَّهُ. Whomsoever Allah sends astray, none can guide him. Whom does Allah send astray? Who is determined to go on living in those darknesses of ghafla, darknesses of forgetfulness, of confusion, of chaos, of uncertainty. Whomsoever Allah sends astray, none can guide him. And he lets them wander blindly in their transgressions. Like Rahafiddin, there is no compulsion in religion. فَتَّبَيَّنَ رُشْتُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ. Truth has become distinct from error. Right now, the choice is ours. They ask you about the hour, saying, when will be its appointed time? People obsessed with when the day of judgment is going to come. We need to know that our day of judgment starts basically when we die, because we can't earn any more good deeds for ourselves. Tell them, the knowledge thereof is with my Lord alone. None can reveal its time but He. Heavy is its burden upon the heavens and the earth. It shall not come upon you except all of a sudden. And you know, a sudden calamity or a sudden disaster is always more frightening, because then there's a shock as well. They ask you as if you have knowledge of it. قُلْ إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Tell them the knowledge thereof is with Allah. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Most of mankind just don't have knowledge. قُلْ لَا أَمْلِكُ لِنَفْسِي نَفْعًا وَلَا ضَرًّا إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَلَوْ كُنْتُ أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبَ لَاسْتَكْثَرْتُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ وَمَا مَسَّنِيَ السُّوءُ. Say, I possess no power over benefit or hurt to myself except as Allah wills. Now the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being told to say this, that I cannot harm myself and I cannot benefit myself except as Allah wills. How then can we think that He is responsible for changing our destiny, or He can change our destiny, when He couldn't even do anything about His own destiny? If I had knowledge of the unseen, I could have secured for myself an abundance of wealth, and no evil should have touched me. I am but a warner and a bringer of good news, لَقَوْمِ يُؤْمِنُونَ, for a people who have iman. Now again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is divesting prophethood of all trappings of glamour and supernatural powers. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is stating quite clearly that I cannot even control my own destiny. I don't even have knowledge of the unseen. Had I knowledge of the unseen, I could have secured for myself an abundance of good. If we look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life, what do we find? An epitome of suffering, of pain. What trials were there that he did not go through? Orphaned before he was even born. Then his mother died when he was 6. His grandfather died. Then, after he had married Hazrat Khadija, they lost 2 children, they lost 2 sons in infancy. And people were always taunting him about this. Then what happened when he started calling others towards Islam? People pelting him with stones and rubbish. A man who had been amongst the most honored of his people, suddenly treated like a madman by his people. He would be praying before the Kaaba and they'd come and throw rubbish on him. And his daughter would clear that rubbish off, weeping all the time, seeing his children's pain as well. Then when he went to Medina and his daughter Hazrat Zainab was trying to follow him and she was expecting, they pushed her off the camel, the pagans. And then she miscarried, and when she came to Medina after a few months, she died, losing his precious daughter. And you know what he said when they were bathing her? He said, bathe her well and perfume her, for this daughter of mine has suffered much in Allah's path. Had it been us, we would have called out, well Allah, that's it, we're not going to do any more. Yet he did sabr. He went on trying. His little son Ibrahim died. What did he say? The eye weeps, the heart grieves, but we will only say that which pleases our Lord. His wife Khadija died. So many sufferings, so many trials. Allah says, tell them, I cannot even benefit or hurt myself. What do we say when pain afflicts us? I can't bear it. That's it. I've reached the end of my tether. Look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you know what he told us? He said, O people, if any pain afflicts you, remember my woes, and your woes will seem light in comparison. But it's a matter of vision, and that's the difference between the vision of a mu'min and the vision of a kafir. In ana illa nadhirun wa bashir liqaumin yu'minun. I am but a warner and a bringer of good news for a people who have iman. Every time we are afflicted by troubles, we need to watch ourselves lest we utter anything that might displease Allah. Amina Sami, that American convert that I mentioned before, she had a teacher by the name of Sulaiman, and he was a born-again Muslim. Now he had cancer and he was dying of cancer, but he was teaching people at the same time. She relates that one day she was studying by him, and towards the end of his life, very few people could actually bear to see him because it's something very painful to behold. And he was talking to her, and suddenly he was seized by a fit of agony that racked his body. He couldn't even speak, the pain was so intense. And she says, I have never seen any human being in such suffering. And when the pain was over, he looked at her and he said, Amina, see how much Allah loves me? She says, for a second I was shocked. I had never seen anyone suffer so much. And then this is what he said. He said, don't you see, Amina, Allah is cleansing me of my sins. When that man died, she says, the whole room was full of fragrance and perfume. فَأَمَّا إِنْ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ فَرَوْحٌ وَرَيْحَانٌ وَجَنَّةٌ نَعِيمٌ. If he is of those who are brought near to Allah, then there will be fragrance. وَجَنَّةٌ نَعِيمٌ. And gardens of delight. But it's a matter of iman. It's a matter of yaqeen.